Yet again, Emmanuel Macron and Marine Le Pen will fight for the top job in France. The first round of the vote finished with no clear winner. It's a tight race in the second round, so can the far right win? And what would that mean for France? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Nick Clark. President Macron is in the north of France already campaigning for a runoff election on April the 24th. He's on top after the first round of voting took place on Sunday, and he wants to become the first French president to be re-elected in the last 20 years. But his contender, Marine Le Pen, is not far behind, determined to start her own presidency by winning the runoff. Polling suggests a much tighter race this time than when the two last faced each other back in 2017. Then, more than 26% of the population abstained from casting a ballot on the first round. Verna Smith filed this report now from Paris.
Emmanuel Macron only did one campaign rally, but the man who brands himself a centrist did enough to have a chance of being the first incumbent French president in 20 years to win a second term. Again, though, he'll have to beat the far right.
À tous nos compatriotes qui se sont tournés vers l'abstention.
To all the French who chose to abstain or the vote on the extreme, either because they're angry, faced with persistent inequality, a damaged planet, everyday insecurity, the difficulty to make a decent living despite working hard. I want to convince them in the coming days.
His opponent in the second round of voting will again be Marine Le Pen, leader of the National Rally. Its manifesto includes a promise to make it illegal for Muslim women to wear headscarves in public places.
Your vote depends all over the French territory on the legitimate preponderance of the French culture and language, the customs of our regions and the French way of life, on Republican laws and values.
Le Pen might pick up votes from supporters of Eric Zemmour, another extreme right candidate. The former TV pundit has asked his supporters to back her in the second round. The far left's Jean-Luc Mélenchon had hoped that this time he might make it to the runoff, but again, he didn't quite get enough votes. France's traditional right and left-wing parties continue to hemorrhage support. The conservative The Republicans Party under Valérie Pécresse saw their share of the vote collapse to single digits. The socialists under Anne Hidalgo have been all but wiped out, their share of the vote barely registered. The beneficiary of those former conservative and socialist votes seems again to be Macron.
We actually ask the French voters to support actually a strong European France for the next turn of the election in 2 weeks.
I believe we have a good record and we have a worked out plan with a vision for the future for the young, our country and for the workers.
To the left, Macron has promised higher pensions and more staff in healthcare. For the right, thousands more police officers and judges and a rise in the retirement age from 62 to 65. So now there'll be 2 weeks of intense campaigning for Emmanuel Macron and Marine Le Pen. Most of the losing candidates have urged their supporters not to let Le Pen win. So Macron could benefit from their votes. But the far right won a combined 33% share of the vote in the first round, so an upset cannot be ruled out. Bernard Smith, Inside Story, Paris.
Well, the merging of the right wing into the far right is one of the biggest developments of this election. Marine Le Pen and Eric Zemmour's combined poll ratings amount to an unprecedented 30% plus for the far right in France, whose parties are more united than those on the left. The far right agree on what they say is the necessity for France to re-establish its full sovereignty from the European Union. They also want to limit or end immigration. And some of the right wing go as far as saying Islam is incompatible with the French Republic. Over the past 2 years, they have spread from a fringe movement to a mainstream political force in France. And that's been fueled by economic grievances and security fears after ISIL attacks on French soil. All right, let's bring in our guests from Paris. We have Jacques Relland, who is a senior research fellow at the Global Policy Institute. From Newcastle in England on Skype, Ariane Bogain, who's a senior lecturer in French and politics at Northumbria University. And Anne-Elisabeth Moutet joins us. She's a Paris-based columnist for The Telegraph and Unheard Online magazine. A warm welcome to you all. Everybody, will look at the results first and then we'll project onto what might happen in the second round and the crucial parliamentary elections and that upcoming TV debate. But first, the first round results. And Anne-Elisabeth, you have written how Le Pen was almost a write-off 3 months ago. What happened?
Well, I also wrote last week that she had made an extraordinary comeback, yeah. Actually almost a resurrection. It's very interesting because it's a combination of what she's been trying to do for the past at least 4 or 5 years and a situation in which she mechanically looked more, quote unquote, moderate because of the advent of Éric Zemmour, her new player, who's a former columnist for Le Figaro and who looked and sounded more hardline than she did. So suddenly, the entire effort that she's put into rebranding her party, changing the name from National Front to National Rally, which is more consensual, toning down her platform, and we can talk about this further, giving off personal vibes of her personality as being somebody who was milder, who was less abrasive, somebody who gave smaller rallies than her competitors and didn't shy from admitting to mistakes, from saying that things were sometimes things went wrong. All of this built up a kind of constituency that related to her. And everybody has sort of been counting the Zemmour vote into the Marine Le Pen vote in 2 weeks' time. She's got a core constituency that were people that voted communist 25 years ago, and she at least one third of Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the hard leftist voters, may actually vote for her in 2 weeks' time, because she speaks for the working class and she has a very left-wing social program in terms of benefit and changes, except that she wants it only for the French.
Now, Ariane Bourguin, do you agree with that? What's your overview of how this panned out?
Yeah, I agree with what's been said. I think her strategy paid off. She decided very early on that she would focus on cost of living, and it has been rising in France. As the as has just been said, she was made even more moderate by Zemmour, and I think as well, Macron, for me, had a really bad campaign in the first round. You know, he started very late. He refused to do any debate, and his messaging was terrible because the main takeaway that voters, ordinary voters who don't have time or inclination to read through the programme line by line, the only thing that they remembered was you'll have to work longer. So a strategy paid off, and there was also some tactical voting from Zemmour voter and from the Republican right voters to ensure that she is in the second round. So I agree with what's been said, but I think we shouldn't underestimate also that Macron had a bad campaign, in my opinion.
All right, Macron had a bad campaign. Jacques Raylon, do you think the first round ended up being tighter than Emmanuel Macron thought it would?
Yes, I'm sure. Yes, I agree with both speakers that Le Pen made a good campaign, Macron made a terrible campaign, and I think he suffered a bit from hubris. Like, especially the reform of the pension age that he wants to raise to 65. He announced it in his first big address to the French people at a time where he was riding at 32% in the opinion polls. But it's a measure which has actually displeased many people in France. Mm. Working till 65, it was, and also linking some supplementary benefits to extra work or training on the part of workers, that has upset a lot of people on the left. And that's where he has to gain some support. And that's why many people on the left, especially on the far left, are very opposed to Macron. There's a sense of hatred even towards him. And now, I think he's realized his mistake, and that he, at the time, he thought that he needed to take votes away from Valérie Pécresse. But as we see, Valérie Pécresse has fallen under 5%, so there are not many votes to be gained there. If he wants to gain votes in the second round, they have to come from the left. So the nature of his campaign will have to change. He will have to campaign much more, announce a more measure, and there will be a big debate, and he has to show to the French people that his program is not a very liberal right-wing program, but it's a balanced program with measures to help the working classes and the poor and the weak, which he started today by going campaigning on the hunting ground of the far left, or the hunting ground of Marine Le Pen in the north of France, in a town where the majority of people voted for Marine Le Pen, and he has to convince them that his policies will be more beneficial to them than those of Le Pen. And I don't think it would be that difficult, because Le Pen's economic program, Le Pen has made loads of promises to all people. The speech she made last night, there was money for everyone. She was going to the weak, the poor, the old, the young, etc. It was a list, it was a catch-all kind of speech.
All right, Jack. We'll just
demagogic.
Let me move it back to Anne Elizabeth. So Jacques says, Jacques Raylan says, Anne Elizabeth, that Macron has realised his mistake. Will it be enough? He himself admits that it's certainly not over yet, and poll predictions for the second round are well within the margin of error. As our reporter Bernard Smith says, it's not out of this world to imagine that Le Pen could win this.
I think, yes, it's very interesting, because the cross-voting and the people who sort of voted on one side are arguing to vote for somebody whom you wouldn't think at first hand is, major. I've just mentioned the Mélenchon voters voting for Marine Le Pen. But on the other side, you've got I know Zemmour voters who will vote for Emmanuel Macron, because they felt rightly or wrongly that their candidate was still forward-looking and modern and wanted to create a sort of large right-wing party that would have been something like, I don't know, if you, in British terms, the Tory party with added Nigel Farage, for instance. Mm-hmm. Whereas they find that Marine Le Pen is much more rigid and backwards looking. And that constituency does exist. It's very complicated to calculate the votes on either side. I think Emmanuel Macron probably should win it, but the entire campaign has been painted in the first and second round. That's the first round is very new, as a kind of what again the British would call Project Fear. The other one is evil. So on the hard right, people say, look, Emmanuel Macron is the man who's bringing in foreigners. He's the man who's abandoning sovereignty of France to Europe, all sorts of things. And on the other side, you've got essentially the great line of, let's have a new Front contre le fascisme, which was a great movement against fascism in the 1930s in France. And it's not going to be a very grown-up campaign. And where Marine Le Pen is shrewd, that is that she's always brings back the situation with the hardships that people are experiencing, especially now that inflation is going up. Macron now suffers from something from last time. Last time he was new. Many people voted for him because he was the new guy, he was younger, he annoyed all the others, and therefore he was a safe populist vote, somebody who still had the competencies within the French technostructure, and somebody who annoyed the other candidates, the incumbents, left and right. This time he's been in power for 5 years. In his big rally at La Défense, West Paris, he talked about care homes, personal. He talked about doctors. He talked about all sorts of people who were suffering. And the immediate reaction of so many people is, well, who was president at that time? You were. So it's going to be tight. It's difficult to predict. I still think, like the bookmakers, that Macron will squeeze through, but it's going to be difficult.
There is this long-lasting discontent, isn't there, over Macron's personality. He's deemed arrogant by many, and maybe that arrogance was on display in the fact that he didn't take part in much of the electoral campaign. Ariane Bourguignon, how do you see it panning out this second round?
Yeah, again, I agree. It's going to be much tighter than in 17. And, you know, in 17, it was the new kid on the block. And a lot of people gave him the benefit of the doubt. Now he's the incumbent. He has a whole presidency under his belt. And people know what he did. And he generated a lot of anger, a lot of hatred in some quarters, a lot of discontentment. So it's much easier for Marine Le Pen to point at, this is what he did. Do you want the same for 5 years? Whereas in 17, it was hypothesis of what he might do. I think it will really come down to abstention rate on the left and to how many Mélenchon voters will switch to Le Pen. There was a study this morning, I believe, that suggested 30% will abstain of Mélenchon voters, 30% will vote for Le Pen. This is going to be the crucial point. How high is the abstention going to be on the left, and how many voters from Mélenchon will switch? I think he might squeeze through, but it's not going to be, 66-34 like it was last time.
Right. Jacques, that's very interesting, isn't it? It will be key, the number of abstentions, won't it? Because, I mean, isn't abstaining effectively a vote for Le Pen?
Yes, but the far left, Jean-Luc Mélenchon's slogan, appeal, was to say to the people, do not vote for Marine Le Pen. But he did not say vote for Macron,
right,
obviously. But that's been the case for most of the leaders, except Éric Zemmour and Éric Ciotti, on as a Republican, a Pécresse backer. So there's a few people have called for a vote to Le Pen, but quite a lot have said, even on the left, the ecologist in Anne Hidalgo have clearly said, even Valérie Pécresse has clearly said that she would vote for Macron. As for the Zemmour voter, I agree with Anne-Elisabeth that some of them will not want to vote for Le Pen because they think her economic program is incoherent. And that's, we can see in this divide in France that Macron appeals to the French who are doing well, and Marine Le Pen appeals to those who find it hard to make ends meet. But in the debate, that's why I think the key point would be for Macron to show in these next 2 weeks that his program is the one who is best suited to the interest of the working class people who voted out of anger towards Le Pen. And in that sense, he's got something to back it up because his record is very good, especially on unemployment. During his mandate, more than 1.2 million jobs were created, and French employment rate is at its lowest that it's been for a long time. It was not even an issue. The issue was the cost of living. And even there, Macron will be able to prove, if there is a debate, and the debate on television will be crucial, whether Marine Le Pen has improved her competence in the field of economics.
Right,
I'm
exactly,
sure.
because she really struggled back in 2017, didn't she, Ariane?
Yes.
That, as Jacques says, that TV debate, I think it's on the 20th, is going to be a real pivot point.
Yes, definitely. I mean, last time round, it was a car crash, and it really cost her, dearly. I mean, she appeared totally incompetent in 2017. So, you would think that she would have learned from it and that she would be a bit better this time round. But yeah, it is going to be crucial. And, Macron will have to, to push her on all her economic promises, because if you look at a program, it's, there's something for everybody. Great. But how do you finance it? So he will ask all those questions. And Marine Le Pen will have to hope that she does much better than in 17, because otherwise it would be very easy for Macron to highlight that she's incompetent, that she doesn't have the competence, that she doesn't know how to, to deal with crisis the way he had to do during his presidency. So the debate is key, as well as abstention, in my view.
OK, I'd like to continue that side of the conversation, but we've got to move it on. I want to talk about the French traditional parties, Anne-Elisabeth. We've only got 6 or 7 minutes left. What does this mean, what's happening here for French politics? Is that it for the traditional parties, for the conservative right and the socialist left?
I think it's actually rather bad, because what we end up having is one candidate of the great and the good, who is Emmanuel Macron, and two essentially bogey men or women, bogey persons. And that's not good for democracy. You no longer have an opposition, you know, who you disagree with, but they are honourable people. And that's a real problem. And that is entirely the doing of Emmanuel Macron. He came 5 years ago, seemingly out of nowhere. He'd been in the cabinet for 18 months with François Hollande, so socialist. He was not a member of the Socialist Party himself. When he came in, he said, I'm going to do things en même temps, at the same time, left and right. You don't have to choose between left and right. And he started shaving off personalities from the right and the left, and he always picked sort of compatible, docile personalities, and he gave them jobs and forbade them to have political ideas of their own. And then he peopled the National Assembly with essentially clones of himself in many ways. And the result was a sort of anemic national sort of politics life, which reduced the extent of the debate. That, I think, is bad for democracy. I think because he, at the end of the day, his nature is that he's a civil servant. He's a top mandarin. He was at the Minister of Finance. He graduated top of his class, almost top of his class, at ENA, the French government school. He is used to people obeying him and not people talking back to him.
Okay.
And that's really where he decided that he would make a new system at his image, which I think is really wrong for democracy.
Jacques, do you think, in a sense, Macron, you know, by, you know, emasculating the traditional parties, he's actually empowered his own opposition?
What is very interesting is, yes, Macron destroyed the Socialist Party in 2017, and now he has destroyed the Republican Party. The two parties which have dominated French political life for the last 50 years are now in tatters. So what's going to happen after? Macron has a catch-all vote all in the middle, and what you're going to see on the right is a recomposition, i.e. The hard right, Le Pen, the people in the Republican Party who backed Le Pen, like Ciotti, the right wing of the Republican, who were split like the socialists were split in 2017 between governance and more radical, plus the Zemmour voters, all of that would add up to a very hard right party on the right, which could gather about 30-35% of the voters and have policies a bit similar to the British Tory Party, very nationalist, very protectionist, and at the same time very hostile to foreigners. So it will be likely to happen. We will see during the parliamentary election
how
it will shape up.
Funny you should say that. I'm going to move on to that, because we need to get into the parliamentary elections. We've only got a couple of minutes left. I'm sorry to interrupt, Jacques. So, Ariane, a president with no majority has no power. We've got the parliamentary elections coming up in the summer. Traditionally, you know, the winning presidency gets the majority in parliament. Do you think it's going to be a different ball game this time around?
Yes, certainly if Marine Le Pen wins. We know that ever since they changed the timing of the parliamentary election and put them after the presidential election, there's a momentum going in. However, I don't see Marine Le Pen winning an absolute majority just on a row. We also know that power attracts, and I'm sure she will be able to attract people, you know, coming from the traditional right, possibly even people from the left who are more the kind of sovereignist left. But it is going to be difficult to get a majority. And obviously, depending on the majority, she will be able to implement a program or not. We might even end up in a period of cohabitation. You never know. If she wins and people suddenly feel, right, OK, we better rectify this, we might end up with, you know, Le Pen president and a left-wing prime minister. So it's very much up in the air. And I think you are right to really point to the fact that the parliamentary election is the key election, because without a majority, presidents do not have power. If Macron wins, I think it's more likely for him to have a majority, maybe not an absolute majority, but enough to create, you know, a kind of coalition of the willing, so to speak.
Okay, we'll closely follow this, of course, here on Al Jazeera over the next 2 weeks. Very closely indeed. It's all we've got time for. Jacques Rellon, Ariane Bourguin and Anne-Elisabeth Moutet, we do appreciate your time and your perspective on this. Thanks a lot. Thank you, too, for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, just go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is at AJInsideStory. From me, Nick Clark, and the entire team here in Doha, it's goodbye for now.